Well, life on the farm, I kinda laid back. Ain't much an old country boy that me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, it is our once a month check-in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Got a lot of things to get to with you. Let's start with the peanuts. You done with the peanuts? You finished the harvest? How'd we do?
We did. We finished, I think, last week. The days are all running together now. But in the last week or two, we finished peanuts. They were like we thought. They were not very good because of the drought. It looks like our yields were down about 40% or so. And then I think we've talked about it on the show before. It's not just the yield that matters. It's the grade of the peanut. You know, every load's graded from the USDA, and they give you a grade, and then that determines the amount of money you'll get paid. So the grades were very low as well. And we probably lost on average, between $75 and $100 a ton on what peanuts we did make. So pretty tough peanut season.
So I just want to make sure I put all those numbers together. You're telling me that in the act of making peanuts this year based on quantity and grade, you actually lost $75 to $100 a ton across your entire farming operation for the fields that you put peanuts in?
Well, we lost more than that. That's the grade of the peanuts that were made, but we were already 40%. Our yield was already 40% less, so basically it's compounded.
Wow. Okay, so not just that money, but you lost because you had so few to begin with. Wow. Neat.
Correct, yeah. Well, it was a double whammy. Yeah. A lot of money lost.
As I think you said one time, middle of the summer, when we were looking at all this heat, and you said, man, this is going to be the kind of year you spend a decade digging out of this hole. So, man, how about pretty cotton? How did we do on cotton this year? Where are we at on cotton?
We're probably about halfway done harvesting our cotton. And surprisingly, the yields are off, no doubt, but they're better than we thought they were going to be, you know, just looking at the plant. And a lot of that is because, you know, the cotton will begin putting on fruit at the bottom of the plant as it's growing. So those are the first bowls every year. And they're also worth the most money. They have the most weight. So as the plant grows, you know, it puts more and more bowls on up above it. And this is over a time period of probably 2 months. So what happens in a typical year, those bottom, because of all the moisture we get, all the rain that we typically get, those bottom bowls rot off, and we don't get to capture those. We don't get to harvest those. Those are no good to us.
Even though those are the ones that are dense, and they'd be good to be able to get, you mean?
Correct. But this year, because it's been so dry, those are just in perfect condition, and we're able to harvest all those. So it's really... it's really helping our cotton harvest. I mean, we're still off from where we would normally be by far, but it's much better than we were thinking it was going to be, you know, before we started our harvest operations.
And is there grading? Is there quality evaluation on cotton the same way there is on peanuts or anything else?
There is. There are probably, I don't have them all in front of me, there are probably 10 different categories that the cotton's graded on. Excuse me. You know, there's you don't think much about it. It's just a bowl of cotton. But the things that are very important in the grading process, for instance, are the color, the diameter of the actual piece of lint, the length of the lint, the uniformity. All those things make a difference when they begin to spin the yarn to make you know, our products that we use every day. So, like for instance, your finer linens and finer, softer clothes, things like that, have longer pieces of lint in them. You want as long a piece of lint as you can get in it, and something that's very, very uniform. So they look at all those things, and then they'll tell you what they're going to pay you for it. You know, you can either get a premium. It can be much better than what it typically is, or you can get a discount and it be much worse than it typically is. And this year, luckily, that is one good thing we've had so far in all my grades. They've all been pretty significant premiums, so that's helping out some this year.
Are you going to make money, break even, still lose money on cotton this year?
I will lose money.
So you're losing a lot on peanuts. You're losing on cotton. I mean, soybeans? You going to make money on soybeans?
No, we're going to lose money on soybeans. It hadn't rained since the Blue Angel Air Show, to put it in perspective for people. It hasn't rained since about the second week of July. We've had, for instance, during our whole peanut harvest process, usually we'll get rained out 3 or 4 or 5 times. You know, some seasons you get rained out a lot. This year we had one rain event, and it's really the only rain event we've had since basically the middle of July.
Yikes.
And it rained about 1.5 inches.
Well, well, at least farmers get a minimum wage, right? I mean, at least you guys are, you know, somebody's going to pay you to do the act of farming and feeding and clothing us, right? You guys are taken care of.
Yeah, how many people, how much would you pay to come to work every day? that's where we are.
Well, and it's real easy to get bank loans too, right? I mean, you know, banks are real eager to loan y'all money, and they look at what's going on and they say, no big deal, it's fine, right? It's super easy.
It's gotten very much more difficult just in the last year, but they know. I mean, they don't, you know, not every bank will have ag loans. We have one here in the community that we use, United Bank. They're considered an ag loan lender, an ag bank, and it's kind of one of their specialties. And they know they're going to have to come up with something to help us. You know, pretty much all of their customers are going to come up way short this year. And they don't want to be farmers. They don't want to come out here and repossess your farm and that type of thing, you know. So they're going to come up with some kind of program, I'm sure, to help us. And it'll be a long-term loan that it'll take, like I've said, to pay this off. And for some people, it might take up to 10 years.
Mm. I know it has been a rough year. And, you know, of course, I know you're a man of faith and you're pretty jovial all the time, but I don't, you know, and we, you know, it's been pretty depressing to talk about this, but this is not just the Ryan Jenkins suffering. This is like, you know, farmers across the panhandle where we make enormous amounts of contribution to, you know, produce and other things that we grow. And it's a terrible year. You know, citrus is not what we farm up in this area, but, you know, the citrus is tremendously down because of citrus greening. And, you know, these are real problems for the people like me who I enjoy eating and wearing clothes. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I'm glad you guys are out there. Ryan, only because I know we're talking about cotton harvesting, and only because I know this is one of your favorite things to address, for the people who this might be the very first time they're hearing you and I talk about farming, you pick all of your cotton by hand in bags, right?
Yes, after we finish picking the peanuts off of the peanut tree. Yes, that's
how
what
does
we do that.
How does it actually work?
There have been mechanized cotton pickers for many, many, many years now, and they just continuously get better and better and better. You know, the technology just continues to improve. No, we do not pick cotton by hand. It's a very expensive machine. A brand new cotton picker nowadays is a little over $1 million. And it's a very specialized piece of equipment. All it can do is pick cotton. It's not like a tractor that can be hooked to many different implements and have many different jobs. It can only do one job. It can only pick cotton. And, then as you've seen, if you've ridden around in the country, you've seen two different ways that we get the cotton ready to go to the gin after it's out of the picker. Some of them look like giant hay bales that are actually cotton bales that are wrapped in plastic. That is the new technology. And the older technology are the big rectangular blocks that you see beside the road, you know, at the end of a cotton field.
Mm-hmm.
Both ways, a truck will come in that has a conveyor belt or conveyor chains in the bottom of it that tilts down. It'll just back up under those modules, take them to the gin, and from there, the cotton will be processed, the seed and the trash and everything will be taken out of the cotton, and it'll just be pure lint, and those are in bales, which are extremely compressed. They're a uniform shape and size that are sold all around the world, and they're between 480 and 500 pounds typically. And from the gin, it'll be, like I say, it'll be very, very little of it anymore is used domestically for the most part. It'll be put on a truck, sent somewhere, put on a ship, and shipped overseas. They'll make something out of it and then sell it back to us, and that's pretty much the way it goes.
And in case people have never heard you say it, your million-dollar cotton picker drives by GPS down to the inch from a satellite in outer space. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
We always like to end on a farm fact or a did you know something about farming. You got one for us this month, Ryan?
Yeah, well, we probably talked about some of this, but I just want to say it again, you know, for the people in the back. One bale of cotton, we just said, that's about 500 pounds of lint. One bale makes about 215 pairs of blue jeans. So I Googled this morning. I just said, what is the average price for a pair of jeans? And the answer I got said it was up 19% from last year. The price of a pair of blue jeans up 19% from last year, from $150 to $178 per pair. Now, this is Google. So what I want people to know is, regardless, whatever the price you're paying at the store for the blue jeans, today, the price that I'm getting paid for my cotton, there would be $1.83 worth of cotton in those 100% cotton blue jeans.
The number one input is $2 worth of cotton that Ryan produces, the only truly essential thing in the blue jeans. When you spend $80, $100, $150 for those blue jeans, $2 of that goes to Ryan, and he did not get a raise this year. Is that right?
That's right. There you go. I just want people to know when your inputs go up, when your blue jeans go up and your clothes or your food goes up, it's not because of what the farmer's getting paid.
Well,
as a matter of fact, for cotton, we're down 10 cents in just the last couple of weeks, 10 cents per pound. So every 1,000 bales of cotton that you make, that's $50,000 less we're getting paid.
Neat. God, Ryan, I tell you every time on purpose because, man, I am glad that you feed and clothe my kids and my family. Somebody has to, and if you don't, who will? So I appreciate it. I know it's been a really awful year. We'll talk to you again in a month and talk about kind of the postseason, what's happened in the winter. But Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, as always, man, God bless you, sir, and thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you for having us, and I hope everybody has a great week.
Absolutely.